Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Here's San Francisco and the incomparable forward, Rick Barry.
Behind the end line, they burn him again, and it's Barry.
And now Rick Barry, the league's leading scorer. What a superb basketball player he is.
There she is. Your ideal.
You know why I'm playing this, Rick? Do you know why I play that? Congratulations, my man. NBA 75. You're Mr. America, sir.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Right. Ready to start this show? Thanks.
Yeah, let's start now. Let's do it. Let's go with it. So we have Mark Haynes here, but Rick, I know you normally take the lead on the Rick Barry show, but I have to give you massive congratulations because you're so humble. Every time we chat about this, you always tell me you don't care. If that's true, that's even more amazing to me. But congratulations, sir. It is an absolute honor to be a part of the 75th anniversary NBA team. The Hall of Famer himself, Rick Barry, you were part of such exclusive company, even though it's actually 76, which is kind of weird. We can talk about that. But congrats, my man. I don't know what else to say. You're a legend.
Well, thank you. Most importantly, thank Mark Haynes for joining us. He's with Clutch Points. And so, Mark, tell us a little bit about Clutch Points and what you guys are doing and how you wound up there.
First off, Rick, I have to throw congrats your way as well, man. It's a privilege to be here speaking with you guys. And congratulations on being named to the top 75 players of all time. And this is a privilege for me. So I'm really excited to talk with you guys. But Clutch Points, it's a sports media site, I'm still in my first year of covering the NBA. I started about halfway through the season covering the Warriors last year. I think I started in December, and I'm the beat reporter here. And, Clutch Points, they cover all things sports, basketball, football, you name it. And, any hot topic, they're all over it. But I specialize in basketball, and, sure, that's what we're about to talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're sure as hell not going to talk politics. I can do that.
It's your show, Rick. We could if you want.
Yeah, no, I would ruin my day.
All right, time to take a quick break to talk to you about our longtime official sponsor, Bet Online. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Take note, Dub Nation. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Okay, thanks for joining us. Really do appreciate it. So this, let's get your thoughts. I mean, you're following stuff. What are your thoughts on the Warriors from what you've seen so far this year? And obviously, we know that they're not who they're going to be, you know, come the beginning of the year, but love to hear what you think about them.
Yeah, no, I've been saying this since the offseason, once they got the team, you know, pretty much together. I thought the Golden State Warriors would be pretty good. And I'm not saying this from a, you know, fan point of view, because they're actually not my favorite team, but it's not the point. But I think they're going to be a really good team. Obviously, they still have a big weakness when it comes to size. And, you know, James Wiseman is out right now, but as we've seen in throughout the preseason and especially in that Laker game, in the first game, you know, the teams can basically do what they will, you know, in the paint with the Warriors, even though they have been doing a good job collectively of rebounding. But I don't know how long we could expect Stephen Curry to be averaging 10 rebounds a game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, last night's game, he had 10 rebounds again, but I think the big difference in that game was he only had one assist, and that's not a good game for Steph. One assist for Steph, as much as he has the ball in his hands, that's just not the way that the Warriors, I think, will excel. He's got to have more than one assist in the game. But, yeah, that's the thing. Cyrus and I have been talking about the size. That's a big question, Mark, without question. Yeah, it is. I mean, but they've done a good job. I mean, just the other day I was watching, looking at the stats, they were actually had more offensive rebounds than the Lakers in an exhibition game that they had.
Right.
So they're getting the job done. You know, they got a game yesterday that they could have conceivably lost. I mean, the fact that they won on the road in both of those places with two good basketball teams, neither one at their best right now, let's face it. I mean, the Lakers are in such freaking disarray. It's unbelievable. It's
right.
Like you got Westbrook is like a fish out of water. And I mean, so they're going to get their act together, I would assume. But then the big question mark with them, of course, is are they going to stay healthy with the guys that they have that, you know, looks like they're putting a team for the aged on there, more older guys than any team in the league. But Kawhi out for the Clippers. But still, I mean, they let the Clippers back in the game. And man, that's so easy to do, though. And that's the one point I think that – and they got a lot of young players on the Warriors team, and this is what they have to learn. And this is what I've said so much, Mark, over the years. One of the most difficult things for a player to learn how to do is stay focused. It's so easy to lose your focus. It's so easy to feel, okay, we're in good shape. I mean, they had such a big lead on the Clippers. Steph went out of his mind at the start of the game. And they just didn't play the same way. And they let a team in. And fortunately for them, they got off the hook because of Steph. I mean, the shot he made to put him ahead. I did. Even my wife, she was watching, oh my God, Steph, he's unbelievable. My wife's an All-American basketball player, right? The only woman to have her jersey retired at her alma mater. And ran women's basketball, knows the game. She says, I've never seen anybody shoot like that. And I said, honey, don't worry about it. Neither have I, and neither has anybody else. Unbelievable. I mean, he really is truly unbelievable. And folks, there's players, and I'm going to get your thoughts on this, Mark, that are, I think, the way you evaluate, they're worth the price of admission. To me, Steph Curry is worth the price of admission to get to see this young man play the way that he plays the game. He's just a remarkable athlete. And what I love most about it is that he's having so much fun out there when he plays. He really has so much fun. So it's kind of cool. So your thoughts on how good can the Warriors be if what we talked about, Wiseman comes back and start and continues to improve, and if Klay is anywhere near what he used to be. So how good could they be?
Well, I think they can make it for sure. I think they can make it to the conference finals. I think they can be that good. And I think they can actually, you know, obviously, like you said, the Lakers, this is not going to be the same team that we see down the road. They're going to get better. They're going to figure things out. I think they'll be really good. Then you got, you know, teams like Denver and, and Utah, who's going to be good this year. But if you get Klay Thompson, like you said, anywhere close to what he used to be, you know, it's basically the same type of team they had when they were winning championships. You know, they never had a real dominant, you know, in the paint presence per se. And if Wiseman comes in and he kind of fills that void and kind of gives you, you know, some more, he has to give you more than what he gave last year, obviously, as a rookie or whatever. And, you know, it looks like he put on a little weight or whatever, but
yeah,
you know, it really lies in the hands of them and Klay Thompson and James Wiseman, in my opinion. Like, however they get acclimated into the team and however they can, you know, impact the game, is going to determine if they can get past that conference finals, you know, area. But if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I think I would put some money on the Warriors making it to the conference finals.
I'll put some money on them going to the finals. I mean, I to me, Utah, first of all, seems like the biggest threat at this point. The Clippers look good. Rick, I got so much to talk about after this game because I feel like it was a night and day game between the Lakers on the road and the Clippers at home. But first of all, Rick, did you notice you were on the t-shirts they gave out to all the fans there? I don't know who the bottom right person was on those t-shirts,
I never saw the t-shirts.
I'll send you the pic. Every fan at the home opener at Chase Center got this t-shirt. Mark, did you get one of those?
Yeah, I'm a little salty about that because I wanted one because I was gonna show it to you right. Guys on the show, but they didn't give none to the media. Media chairs are just blank.
Oh, so. Mark, I don't know how new you are to the media game. I've been doing this for close to 25 years. If you see one of those shirts at an arena, just grab one. Do not let just take one, man. Just trust me. For the amount of money, I'm guessing you and most other media members get paid. Just take one of those damn shirts and enjoy it. But Rick, they had this shirt. It was an animation of some of the greatest Warriors players ever. I saw Wilt on there. Steph was on there. You're on there. I don't know who on the bottom right that was. I'm still puzzled by that.
If you had the thing, you could show me. I could probably tell you who it was.
Oh, okay, I'll text it to you while next time someone else talks. I'll definitely show it to you. But I guess first things first, at the home opener, we did not have a pool party. I'm not playing that sound today because there was no pool party. That concerned me a little bit. I'm curious to ask you two, is this the real Jordan Poole we're going to get, where some nights he explodes, some nights he was off? Did you see something maybe last night that was an anomaly of hopefully a very bright future for him? What are your thoughts on game two Jordan Poole?
Well, I'm going to hear from Mark. He's our guest, so let him give his opinion.
Well, I think this is, you know, obviously it was an off night for him. But being he's only 22 years old, he's going to have those nights. So I don't think it's a situation where we have to look at it like, oh, he's not who we thought he was going to be. Like he had a great, you know, what, 2-week run of just, you know, putting up, you know, dang near all-star type numbers, you know, scoring wise. But you can't expect that from him consistently. He's not Steph Curry, even though he could do Steph Curry type things here and there. He's not Steph Curry. He's still improving. And I don't think last night was something to worry about. I just think it's just going to kind of be hit and miss. And that's why when Klay Thompson comes back, Klay Thompson will be the starter.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You're going to have – I remember my coach from college, who was my father-in-law, was a really outstanding pro basketball player himself, said, Ricky Sue, in that season, you're going to have 8 to 10 games where things aren't going well for you offensively. And you have to find a way to be productive when that's not working for you. So in Poole's case, he had a horrible shooting game for him, okay? I mean, that's not a good game. 4 for 14, 1 for 6. Didn't get to the free throw line, but he only had 3 rebounds and he had 7 turnovers. I mean, that's a horrible game, okay?
It is.
It's based in reality. That's a horrible game. So what he needed to do when you're having trouble and you go to the basket more, get fouled, get yourself on the free throw line, go and rebound some more, become productive. I mean, you can't just be out there doing nothing if you're a basketball player. I say that all the time, even my younger son. You're out there, you're still nice training, but you have to exert yourself. You have to make your presence known. Don't just be out there. And Jordan's got to learn to do that. He's a young player. He can't get upset about that. So let's chalk that up to one of the 10 games in the season that he's going to have a bad game. But if I'm a Warriors fan looking at it, hey, he has a bad game. You're helping. He's going to be a productive player for you for the whole season, but you still won. See, having a game like that as a player, you could get over if you didn't, if you win. If they had lost a close game, he's got to take responsibility and know that, hey, if I played any game at all, we win that game. But they won. So that takes that onus off of it. That makes it so much easier to deal with mentally, because guys can get so screwed up mentally that, you know, that they really have a hard time, you know, producing on a consistent basis. So he can't worry about that game. If I were there, talk to him, say, look, don't worry about it. And I'd say the same thing I just said to you guys. Next time, work on this. Get some more rebounds. Play tougher. You know, be weak side defensive help. You know, look to create something. Go to the basket to get fouled. Stop taking the three-point shooter and shots if they're not working for you. You know, do something meaningful. And then don't worry about this game. You know, you're going to have a bad game. Hey, listen, say, hey, look, we got away with two things. Steph Curry has a horrible game yesterday. So if Steph Curry can have a bad game, so can you, Jordan. Okay. But we but we won.
Yeah. Right?
And you had a bad game and Steph came through and we won. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Yeah. But you know, Charles Barkley after the game, and I love the fact that the first two Warrior games were on NBA on TNT, my all-time favorite show, period. And Steph was on with them and post-game. We'll play that sound at the end of the show today to replay that for you. But Charles Barkley said Steph's one weakness is turnovers. And he had a horrible game with that last night. He's had a lot of horrible games. You mentioned Jordan Poole's seven turnovers. How do you, I can't imagine coaching Stephen Curry at this point in his career, because what are you going to say to the guy? But how do you improve that? How do you take that away? So, because that's how the Clippers got back in the game. That second quarter, they're just giving the ball up all the time. And your two's opinion, what does Curry and to a lesser extent Jordan Poole need to do to stop giving that ball over?
Well, Steph, you know, he's that guy that I always said he's an uncoachable player. that you want on your team. Yeah. You know, you want him on the team. And I like, when you think about the turnovers that he makes, it's not, they're just really, really bad turnovers. You know, you think back to that, the finals against, I think it was the Cavs, where he just threw, you know, the behind the back and clutch moments right out of bounds. And it's like, why are you throwing a behind the back pass right here? You can't take him out the game because he's your best player. He's one of the best players ever to play, you know, but you know, what do you say to him? Because the next, you know, next time down the court, he's doing something crazy, but he's making a play. And it's like when it comes to Jordan, I feel like you just have to say, like, we want you to do, like I said earlier, do some of the things that Steph does, but you're not Steph Curry. You're Jordan Poole. We got, like, you know, Steve Kerr, he continuously says that he wants Steph to shoot the ball every time. You know, and Jordan is kind of doing that right now. He's shooting the ball. You know, he has a green light, but he just got to kind of understand, which I think as time goes, he'll figure it out. But he has to understand that Steph Curry's green light is a little brighter than his is on this team. Yeah. And rightfully so. But it's just a conscious thing. Like, you see LeBron James, he's a guy that can – make a lot of turnovers. Sorry, I have a baby in the background.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
But LeBron, he'll have games where he make a ton of turnovers, and then he'll come back, and it's like he makes a conscious effort to, you know, maybe I'm not gonna score 40 tonight, and it's gonna come down to 25, but I'm only gonna have one turnover. You know, I like to see Steph do that, and just kind of, you know, we know you can score 30, 40 points, but just come in and say, I want to get 10 assists and have one to two turnovers, and that's it. But, you know, who knows what we're going to get. You know, every night he's doing something, you know, amazing, and it kind of overshadows the turnovers, but the turnovers are definitely a problem.
Well, I think his biggest problem with his turnovers, and watching him, is sometimes he tries to do and make passes in traffic. When you're in traffic, you don't want to try to make, because there's a whole bunch of arms floating around out there and legs and things. You know, don't try to make a pass in traffic. The other thing I always try to tell when I was coaching with players, and I always had this in my head, if I throw the ball to my teammate, what the hell is he going to be able to do with it? Some guys make a pass to a teammate. That's not a good pass. I mean, especially like sometimes in the post, they'll throw it to a guy. Well, there's two defenders in the post. Don't throw it to him if there's two defenders in the post. Yeah. Just make an intelligent decision. And here's the thing. like Alex Hanna, my coach in my first year, and who was great guy. I loved him. You know, he hum-diddy-diddy, you got him, we need him. How about a loaf of bread and a pound of meat and all the mustard you can eat? He'd be saying stuff like that in the sideline. And slap a little mustard on that hot dog. And then here, when you're playing and passing, don't slap mustard on the hot dog. Okay. I mean, just make it simple, you know, keep it simple. Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. I mean, and that's the problem. Players try to make it too difficult. This is not a difficult game. Now, if I were playing today, I told Cyrus this before, I would play point guard if I was back playing today, because I was quick enough to do that. I was quicker than the guards. And they said, hey, Rick Barry, I was a point forward. I could handle the ball. But yeah, lefty, righty, crossover. That was it. I would work on my ball handling skills, be able to do all these amazing things these guys do. And all that is drilling. You just go out and you do two ball drills, do stuff, and spend time in the gym, and you could learn to be a hell of a ball handler. So I could learn those things. But the thing is, don't make the fancy pass if you can make the simple pass.
Right.
You don't have to showboat it. Make the simplest pass possible to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. And if there's a call for it or a need for it and something happens and you could do some of those things, which they do, and I think it's great, hell, do it. I've done it. I mean, I even saw one of myself that was doing an appearance and stuff, and there was a video of me doing it. And I came in and drew, and I threw a two-hand over my head without even looking thing. I mean, because sometimes those are there. You see them, and you can make a play like that occasionally.
I know that exact clip, by the way, Rick. I've seen that clip of you with that behind-the-back pass. It's a beautiful sight. It is.
It was two hands over my head just without looking because I saw my guy cut. But that's something for those guys. It's a simple thing. And I said the other thing is I'm going to have to call his mother, Steph's mother, and said, look, you got to raise the ante because she finds him. He has to pay his mother for turnovers. So she had a big night last night. So we got to increase the amount of money that Steph has to pay, although I don't know if you'd make it high enough to have him have the money. He's got so much freaking money. But he's such a – I mean, I'm just I love watching him play. I really do. I mean, did you see the one play late in the game? When he had the ball and he had the big guy guarding him, I forget which one it was. And he just kept toying with him here, there, back step, this thing. And he eventually went right around him and got a freaking layup. And here's my thing. Team defensive-wise, you see that happening. You're playing on the weak side. How do you not drop in and help?
Right.
I mean, you know your guy's in freaking trouble. He's trying to guard Steph Curry. Shit, I mean, he's got no chance. it's stuff like that. When I watch the games, I'm going, sometimes I go, what the hell are you guys watching? What are you guys talking about? How do you allow Steph Curry to do that if you're the Clippers? I mean, it wasn't like it was a quick play. I mean, shit, he had the ball for like 12 seconds, dribbling in, dribbling out, dribbling here, was on the left side, wound up getting a layup on the freaking right side, and nobody came to help their teammate. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's all the time. I think they turn into, like, they're on the court and they turn into a fan, like, or a spectator like us. And it's like, it looks like Steph is toying with the defender for like 2 minutes. It's like, how much time is on the shot clock? He just dribble. Nobody's coming. It's really one-on-one. He did it to who was that? Against the Lakers. He did the same thing to them. It was just in and out. To the basket layup.
I know. Well, the Laker game was funny in that one play where you saw Anthony Davis and LeBron yelling at Carmelo, go up, go up. Because Carmelo just sat there and watched him shoot an open three. It was, and I was like, welcome to the Carmelo party. He plays offense, but defense is a whole other game. I honestly feel like the Clippers are a better team than the Lakers right now. I mean, they're a long, younger, more athletic team. They gave the Warriors more trouble. By the way, Rick, did you see that picture I sent you of the shirt?
I think it's Baron Davis.
That's what I was wondering too, but it does not.
The drawings aren't the greatest in the world. I mean,
you look good in there. They made you look good.
That's okay. I mean, you know, it's not a great example of Wilt. It's not super of Wilt. I don't think it's probably Clay looks about the most. But anyway, yeah, I would, of the people there, it's Baron Davis. It has to be Baron Davis.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring too. For the We Believe team,
somebody else that would. That even comes close to even looking like that.
That's you know, great. I want to play some sound real quick here, because speaking to Klay Thompson, he posted something on his Instagram page, and it wasn't a story. It was an actual like picture of him writing some context saying that he felt he was deserving of the NBA 75th team. And was I want to play this. Say that again. Sorry.
Who said they were deserving?
Klay Thompson.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote this post saying, and then so Steve Kerr after the game was asked about his thoughts on the NBA 75 team. And I want to lead into another question with this too, regarding who you think was snubbed and who you think shouldn't have deserved it. But first things first, here is Steve Kerr.
Clay and Draymond weren't on it. Clay's already kind of disagreed with it. I'm sure Draymond probably will tonight right there. What do you think about that at all, or just like where those guys stand in history?
It's just looking at the list and then thinking about the history of the NBA. How do you differentiate? It seems like, I looked at it, there's sort of, 50 or 60 guys who are kind of automatic. And then you're just, you just pick one, and you can't go wrong or you can't be right, depending on how you look at it. I definitely think both guys are top 75 just based on winning and two-way basketball and everything that really matters, that matters more than statistics and, anything related to numbers. What matters is if you're winning championships, then that's what counts. And so I would have hoped and thought that both guys would be on there.
Yeah, I'd love your thoughts because and we can get into this more, but I do believe at least Klay Thompson is worthy of being on that list. Draymond is a whole other issue. I say yes just because Dennis Rodman was invited, but your thoughts? I mean, do Klay Thompson and or Draymond Green deserve to be part of that exclusive NBA 75 team?
Go ahead, Mark.
I think I agree with you, Cyrus. I think Klay Thompson, I think he should get in there. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that Klay is just unanimously should be there, because obviously people didn't vote for him to be in it. But if I had to think of, my top 75, I think he's in there. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was funny about, what Steve said about, making the case for, or it wasn't even, in my opinion, it wasn't him making a case for Klay and Dre. It was more of, giving a reason of why I would put them in there. Instead of saying, I think, both guys, deservingly should be there. It was like, when you add this, and I think when you have to do that, you have to start saying, you bring in team accolades or winning and things like that when you compare who's better. I think you're kind of saying that the guys on the list are better, and I think Klay gets in there if I'm doing it, but it's tough. It's always going to be some guys that's on and some guys that's off, and the list is never going to be 100% accurate, and I think it's super cool once again that I'm on this podcast talking to one of the members who's going to give his opinion, who matters the most, Rick Barry.
Oh, Mark, can you imagine my excitement doing this every time? Like, Rick, man, thank you, sir. Yeah, Rick, you are a member of this team. What are your thoughts, please?
Well, first of all, I think as they've done on numerous things, they missed the boat on how they wanted to go about making these selections. First of all, they should be picked by eras. The game has changed. George Mikan couldn't even play against some of these guys. Seriously, he was a great player in his time and, certainly deserving of being recognized as one of the great players of his era, mm-hmm. of his mm-hmm. era. And so I think they missed the boat on that. And that creates a lot of issues and problems. The other thing is that it's a subjective thing anyway. And who are the people who are voting? How old are they? Did they really get to see Wilt Chamberlain play? I mean, anybody who I've seen all of them. This is why I'll stand in. And there's a lot of great centers out there. You can go Kareem and you can talk about Olajuwon and you can talk about so many different guys, Shaquille,
Russell.
Bill Russell. But there is nobody that was a better center when the skills required to play the center position than freaking Wilt Chamberlain. Nobody dominated the game like he did during his time. Bill Russell had the most impact on a team winning. I would disagree with Steve when he says it gets into winning. No, winning has exactly. nothing to do with you as how great a player you are. Mm-hmm. It has to do with being lucky enough to have great freaking teammates, because you don't win by yourself. Okay.
I mean, that's the reality of it. And I think they missed the boat on that, and they give too much credit, and people start giving, oh, he had six championships. Well, yeah, well, he was lucky. You know, what would he have done? Was he on a team that shouldn't have won and won because of him? No, he was on a team that had other great players on it. And so he gets extra points for that? That's bullshit. Right. Bullshit. I mean, so that's, you know, that's my feeling on that. The other thing, and my wife and I talked about it, I don't think that a guy who's just only played a little bit in the league for a few years makes the team and proves that he's there. I think it's longevity. I think it's guys who have played for an extended period of time in the league at an extremely high level. And you can take away some of the things. Like, for instance, I want to play. My stats were so skewed because of my 2 years in Houston, because I was willing to accept a subservient role. Okay. So if you were to take the 2 years at Houston out and look at my stats and everything, they would be far more dramatic. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I didn't care about my stats. I mean, like I said, I've learned about things that I've done that I had no idea that I did because we never paid any attention. I just played to win. That's all it was about. It wasn't about stats. I was willing to take that role on the Rockets and do that because it was the most talented team I've ever played on, and probably one of the most disappointing things because we didn't do better than we should have done when I played there for those 2 years. And in the same way for other players. I mean, you look at Artis Gilmore. The fact that Artis Gilmore isn't on there. I mean, I looked at a list of people had the list of the top 20 centers, and Artis Gilmore was like ranked 17th. Are they out of their freaking mind? They have no idea how good Artis.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, and I'm giving the truth that people can't handle that, because I am telling you, Artis Gilmore was a beast.
Yes, he was.
I mean, a beast. I had never played against a guy that was blocking guys' jumpers from the baseline. No, I'm dead serious. When he was young and first played for the Colonels, he was coming out and blocking guys' jumpers, and they were legitimate blocking. What happened, the officials didn't ever see it. Well, shit, it has to be goaltending. Nobody could block a shot from me, right? And so he got called for a lot of goaltending. He backed off of doing that. He was unbelievable. He set a record. He shot 60% from the freaking field. 60%. Yeah. And I don't care where he's shooting from. 60% is crazy when you got guys guarding you. And he played against some of the really great centers. So for Artis Gilmore to not be one of the top 75 players, but see, if you picked from decades, he would definitely be in there.
I mean, right.
So that's the kind of stuff that I think is a little disappointing. And, you know, guys that haven't played, like, okay, Giannis is, you know, hell of an athlete, hell of a player and stuff, but he's in the top 75. He's only played a few years.
Yeah. You
know, is he going to be that good? For how long is he going to be that good? Is he going to continue to improve? Is he going to play at that level for an extended period of time? Mm-hmm. You know, those are all questions that, you know, will be answered down the road. And as you go down the road a little bit, well, then he can be included. And obviously, if you play during the decade of, say, 2000 to 2025, right? Okay, he'll be in there. Because he's going to play a few more years to do it, and he could be in that decade. I mean, in that 25-year period. But I just think that they missed the boat a little bit on doing it because you can't compare the way the game is played today. Like I say, today, any player who's a wing player who can't shoot in the 30s, certainly, like, you know, at least 30 or more, you have no business being on a basketball team's roster. I mean, you're a fucking liability. I don't give a shit how good your defense is. You know? I mean, if you can't shoot the damn ball as a wing player, what the hell value are you to my basketball team? I mean, seriously.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just agreeing. And Rick, I know you're a Hall of Famer and in top 75, but have you done some preaching? Because that's what it sounds like you're doing right now.
Well, here's the thing. I'm passionate about basketball. And I just did a talk for employees up at the Mohegan Sun, talking to them. And one of the things I talk about are the qualities and characteristics that I think are important to have. And I try to tell this to young kids. Passion is so important. Find something you have a passion and a love for. Learn as much about it as you possibly can so that you are so fundamentally sound in the skills required to be successful in that profession, whether it's music, whether it's science, whether it's sports. That's the foundation. I tell people, you cannot build a tall building on a small foundation. It will topple over. It's impossible. But if you understand it and you have this great God-given talent ability and you continually are looking to get better and improve, you will have a chance to maximize your potential in whatever that endeavor happens to be. And unfortunately, a lot of kids are shortchanged. I had a kid play for me in the minor leagues that was Michael Jordan-esque. He was about Michael's size, but bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. Think of this. I mean, bigger body and stronger, but just as athletic. never was taught how to play the game the right way. It had the greatest attitude ever at practice first, wanted to stay longer. I couldn't even play him on that team because he didn't know how to use the talent that he had the most effective manner possible. It broke Clifford and Ray's in my heart. I mean, I've saw that so often in the minor leagues. And so that's what the critical thing we have to do here is we have to do better with our teaching. The AAU has got to change their philosophy. It's got to be, look, we're going to be about teaching the game. Not by taking these great athletes, go out there, jump higher, run faster, and use your athleticism to win. No, here's how you play the game. Mm-hmm. Here's how you use the great talent that you've been given by God. Now you're going to have a chance to fully maximize it. You know as well as that, there are guys who made it into the NBA on sheer athleticism. They're never going to be as good as they should be because they don't know how to play the game and utilize that talent properly.
Yeah, so Kenny Smith was saying on NBA on TNT last night how a team he was coaching in New York, the kids didn't even understand what being in the post meant. They weren't teaching kids how to play in the post. That was shocking to me. That to me is
why they took the center. Why the NBA took the center off the All-Star?
I know,
ballot.
But they shouldn't. But they shouldn't. Yeah. And at a fundamental level, that remains one of the most important skills to learn for scoring, for passing, for running an offense. That was shocking to me because I was always little playing basketball, but I learned how to play the post at a young age. And even though I was small, it was so advantageous for me to constantly be one of the leading scorers on my teams. Just because you can facilitate an offense from there. It's where the, I don't know. That was crazy to me. Here are some names, by the way.
Let me go. Let me go that point. I'm going to just pick up on what you said. Cause I actually do listen to you when you talk.
thank you. actually. <that's...
laughs> yeah, no, the thing is, here's the thing. Why is it that everybody believes that you have to have a big man be the post?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I used to post my 6'2" and 6'3" guards up because they were a monster in the post and they could just kill people. Plus the fact you got somebody who's a passer who's probably maybe a better passer than the big guy is.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, I always tell the story. I told Baron Davis when I was on a cruise one time, I said, Baron, if I was coaching you, I would have posted you up all day long.
All day long.
You're big, you are strong, you can kill people in the post. They're going to have to double you. And now I have you, and you're my point guard passing it out. I mean, seriously, why do you have to have a big guy? The great thing is have a big guy who can shoot the 18-footer from inside the key area, and he can shoot that shot or the mid-range. Now they have to guard him. So now it's got the right to throw it down, and now you got your guard posting up. Why would you not do that? I mean, I'm serious.
I agree.
I loved offense. In fact, even Clifford Ray, he loved it. But what I realized is that the players don't know how to really understand the game as well. I had a lot of offensive stuff I would have liked to have run if I had the right personnel. And I think that's one of the things that some coaches don't do is they force team players to play the way they want the game played instead of letting them play the way that they're capable of playing and utilizing their skills and talents in the most way possible. I was equated to doing something. You don't take a thoroughbred racehorse and ask him to pull a plow.
Right.
Okay. Right, yes.
And a lot of coaches do that with players. I mean, they really, really do. And you can go down the years. My favorite story I tell all the time is about my guy that I said finally got out of where he needed to get out of when he was playing with Dallas because he had Vic Mata down there who had his way, his little style of playing.
Right? Yeah. Nice reference.
No, but I'm saying, but he had his style. He played a system. That's the way he wanted to. And this is a guy that didn't fit in it. And all of a sudden, it wasn't like he got traded and all of a sudden he learned how to play. He led the league in three-point shooting. He became an all-star player, and that's Dale Ellis. But that's not – Dick Mata didn't want that kind of guy. He wasn't the three-point shooter, shot and whatever. And so Dale Ellis just languished there doing nothing and becomes an all-star player, lead the league in three-point shooting. I mean, it's just a matter – use your personnel the right way. I mean, Mike Dunleavy, my teammate at the Rockets. We're getting these out of the way. This is kind of our fun stuff. This is the kind of stuff that does drive me crazy to see guys so mishandled use. Hey, my son Brent never was really totally utilized the skills and stuff that he had. And you do what you have to do regardless of what it is and where you're playing. My son Canyon, it's the same way. I mean, I just go crazy when I watch this stuff. It really does drive me nuts to watch these guys having to play the game the way the coach wants you to play it instead of letting them play the game the way they're capable of playing it. It's more fun for the player. It's more fun to watch when guys are getting to do the things that they can do.
anyway, that's I'll get that off my chest.
You know, you're providing incredible insights when it comes to basketball, and I totally agree with you. I've always valued the post for some reasons from an early age, regardless of size. By the way, here are some players. I want to list a couple players that made it to the 75th anniversary team. And again, technically there were 76 players, and the NBA said it was because of a tie. Rick, did you get a vote, by the way?
I was asked to send something in, yeah.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about that. Okay, so here are the players that to me are suspect that made the team. And this is where an artist Gilmore, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Rick, that he should be on the team. And I also think Alex English should be on the team. I think that's a disappointing snub. I don't know if Carmelo Anthony and Damian Lillard belong. And that's where I think artist Gilmore and Alex English should be in instead. I guess Anthony Davis did win the championship, but that goes to your point, Rick, about he's still young and what's going to happen.
Too early. Yeah.
Too early. Yeah. But Carmelo Anthony, I mean, look, the man was clearly a legitimate scorer, but he never played defense and he had no postseason success. And despite this being a team game, I mean, individually, he just did not step up in the postseason really ever from my memory. And then I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? That's my pick on who maybe should not have been included. Everyone else, to me at least, seems pretty worthy. But your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to take anybody off of the list, but somebody that I think should be on there, especially when I look at some of the names, and somebody I would put before I would put Carmelo on is Tracy McGrady. Obviously injuries and stuff, you know, hurt his long-term career. But what he had about 8 or 9 years where he was special. You know, yeah. He was special. It was for a while, it was Kobe Bryant and Tracy McGrady. And he was like right there with who's the best wing in the league or whatever. And he's somebody that I thought would have made it. And I think he should. But yeah, I'm not gonna take anybody off. But that's one player, like when that was the first name, and I could be a little biased because I'm a big T-Mac fan, but I, outside of that, I believe he should have been on that list.
Rick, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue ad infinitum about this. I mean, there's so many guys that are such good players doing it. It's just, because I don't want to disparage them. They're all great players. I have great respect for all of them doing it. But I'm just looking at stuff and looking at different things. So, and I loved him. He was great as defensive player. But how in the world is Dikembe Mutombo listed? And this is as far as listing the top 25 for some people, these lists they come up with, listed ahead of Artis Gilmore.
Is Dikembe on the team?
No, I'm not talking about that. Oh. I'm talking about a top 25 on centers that people were rating the top 25s on centers.
Oh, they had them above on that.
I mean, it's crazy. And to say, well, anyway, I just look at the stuff and I say statistics are one thing, how you play the game and do it is another one. But when you look at rebounding statistics and stuff here, I mean, come on. I mean, Will Chamberlain averaged almost 23 rebounds a game.
Yeah,
you know, Russell was 22 and a half, and they're raving about somebody averaged 12 rebounds a game.
and they didn't keep, and like my teammate, Nate Thurman, I mean, unbelievable. They got Nate Thurman ranked as the 18th best center of all time. I mean, you have to, I mean, no, he's ranked, actually it's worse than that. Where is Nate? Nate is,
well, he made the 75 Nate, team, which is a relief, but yeah, go ahead.
No, Nate was, they rated him as centers as the 23rd center, the 23rd. I mean, it's just, if you just stats alone, I mean, he averaged 15 points a game and 15 rebounds. And, you know, and like three assists as well. But the thing is, all the shots that he changed, and then they didn't really keep block shots early on. I mean, Wilt and Russell and Nate, what they would have done in those days would have been just, you know, phenomenal stuff. So I just have a real problem when you get down to these kinds of things. And and the other thing is then you start listing them. Well, he's 1, 2, 3, 4. He's there.
Right.
The only way you can rate him that way is take each position. And then you can have a definitive discussion about it and see who you think is the best. Who's the best point guard? Who's the best two guard? Who's the best? Michael Jordan isn't a greater basketball player than Wilt Chamberlain. Okay. And yet people will say he's the greatest of all time, the, you know, the GOAT. Well, as I told people, the GOAT when I played was the guy that screwed up. Okay. The GOAT. I mean, you know, now that's something how things change. It changed from being a, you know, being a piece of crap to turning into the greatest of all time.
I mean, it's an acronym. It's an acronym. But yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I love it.
Well, here, look, here's my thing for the reason, to me, the biggest reason why Clay and or Draymond is worthy is, and Rick, you've said this repeatedly, I agree with you, the Warriors had the greatest five-year run in the history of this great game.
But that doesn't mean it makes them a better player.
I hear you. But you have a collective team that had the greatest five-year run in the history of the game, and only one player is on the NBA 75 from that group? Like, well, maybe two if you count Durant?
I'm not saying not deserving to be on there. I'm not making that point. I'm just saying, no, the point is, don't give extra credit to guys who were lucky enough to be on really great teams with other great players and won championships. That doesn't mean that you were a better player because it means you were a luckier player.
Fair enough. But as you say, Rick, luck is not just random either, right? It comes from hard work, and hard work brings opportunity. By the way, Mark, I have two questions for you. One, who makes the amazing artwork at Clutch Points? I don't know how you turn around artwork so fast. And two, talk about your series. I don't know if it's just YouTube or if it's a podcast also, where you interview athletes, current and former, and talk about their first years, their rookie years. Like, tell us about that series and how does Clutch Points amazing graphics?
Yeah, man, it's still a mystery to me. Like, we have a large team of like graphic designers. Like, I feel like I see a different name every single time. I all I have to do is submit what I want, and then in minutes, like whatever I decide I want Steph Curry, you know, shooting over the Eiffel Tower, or you know, whatever the case may be, they get it up really fast, and they have multiple partnerships with different graphic designers and stuff that do an amazing job, and they're quick, and you know, it's fun. We get to have a lot of fun with that. And year one is just a YouTube series. So it's on a Clutch Points YouTube channel. And I basically just came up with the concept of with my regular podcast, I used to start talking with people about when they start, you know, when they first join the league. I asked them about their, you know, their NBA draft night and things like that. And I realized I started getting like, you know, really good stories. And like most people, you know, your first year of anything is an exciting and interesting year, you know, because you're learning, you're probably learning from somebody you don't need to be learning from. It's just all kind of things, you know. And a lot of guys, like these guys, they make a lot of money and they make, you know, bad purchases and, you know, all that type of stuff. So I wanted to create like a little fun, you know, quick show. It usually runs about 15, I think 20 minutes might be the longest, and just get that background and see what digging I could do from back in the day, when, you know, see if they're people are more open to talk about it now, as opposed to, you know, when it's happening right then, nobody wants to talk about it. But it's fun. And I've interviewed this season Miles Turner, Jayshon Tate, Aaron Nesmith for the Celtics, and hopefully put them on the spot. Hopefully I can get Rick Barry one day.
Oh, there you go. Do they talk about hazing stories? Like, do you ask them about that?
Yeah, hazing stories. I'm trying to think who had the best hazing story. They try to cover it up. So I know they're not giving me the juice on that. I think I got one good story. I can't even remember it, but usually they try to keep it under wraps. But yeah, that's one of the ones I'm always trying to dig for.
Rick, do you mind? Were you like, Rick, you had one of the most dominant rookie years, I think, in NBA history. Were you hazed? Was there hazing going on back in the late 60s when the rooks would come in?
No, we just had to, you know, do shitty things like, you know, with Bill Sharman, who was, well, my rookie year was with Alex Adams. No, we didn't have to do anything. I mean, no, I don't remember any hazing or anything.
Okay.
I didn't remember. I had hazing when I was stupid, you know, fraternity Kappa Sigma, the crazy stupid things they used to have you do there.
That's what
I'm talking about, just insane stuff.
Yes. Yeah, but I think Rick, you and I could share some stories about, hey, about, yeah, I joined a fraternity too.
I know. They did some, the guys they did were some... like a bunch of degenerates, the freaking guys.
They are.
Here's the thing. In basketball, the second year, the rookies had to do a few things with Bill Sharman, because Bill Sharman was the one wanted you to have hot tea and honey or something with lemon or something before the game or whatever. So they had to carry all this crazy stuff around with us. You see, back in our days, sometime when I would talk for just for fun and not talking to give a message to people about, you know, what does it take to be successful, be a leader or whatever, or just let's have some fun talking about it. I tell people about what the NBA was like when I played and what the NBA is like today. And people start laughing. I said, hey, I'm telling you, I'm not making this up to have laughter. I said, I'm telling you the truth. I said, and it is. That's actually kind of what makes me cry, the difference between the two things as to what these guys have a different after a game. I always tell people, I said, now just the names of the arenas, right? The Palace at Auburn Hills.
Yeah.
We played in the Cow Palace. Okay. The name alone kind of gives you the idea, you know, the Palace at Auburn Hills, as opposed to the Cow Palace. Okay. And so the quality of the rooms in which I said, look, when I went in playing in the arenas we played in, we were hoping, first of all, that they had hot water.
Oh,
We were hoping they had soap.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh man!
And we were hoping that we didn't soap? Get foot. We didn't get a foot fungus in the shower.
Oh my god!
And then we'd go in and I would wash my uniform. I'd wash it, wring it out, go back. We didn't get that much sleep because we had to be up to catch a commercial flight at the earliest first flight the next day. If we had a game the next day.
Wow.
And then go back to the hotel, try to get there, see if you did something, you know, hair blower, hoping that your freaking uniform would dry out for the next game.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
These guys, they never touch anything.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
It's all done for them. All done, clean, washed, dry clean, whatever. Laid there, laid out for them. Yeah, I mean, please. I mean, the stories had when I coached in the minor leagues, the difference and stuff. I had to go out with them. We had to go buy tape because they didn't have a trainer at the other team. I was taping freaking ankles at the coaching team. I mean, the stories and stuff that went on, people have no clue because everybody thinks, oh, Rick Barry, NBA. Yeah, so they think I'm a freaking multimillionaire. I never heard the word $1 million in my contract.
Oh, I know, you got robbed, man. We talked about this. If you're playing today,
The lowest paid guy in the league last year made twice as much money as I made in my best year that I ever had, and he never plays.
Oh, that's rough.
That's crazy.
Mark, if Rick played today, he'd be a billionaire potentially. Like I'd be if you just invested right, you'd be a billionaire.
Here's the thing. Here's what I was playing today. I would kill social. I understand marketing. I can't believe guys aren't doing more. I would crush social media. Crush it, because I would do stuff. I'd be out there doing stuff, and I would affiliate myself with nothing but high quality companies with incredible services and products, and with having multi-millions of followers doing stuff. And you just say, hey, you ought to go try this, put this in there, you'll get a little discount, whatever, and do it. Just tweet that out. I would make more money off the court than I'd be playing.
Yep.
And I feel like Clay understands this better than most. I mean, he's still single. Right. He's just living the life. There's no rush. Right. I mean, he takes full advantage of it. Oh, Rick, I do. I sympathize with you, man. When I see all these stories of athletes complaining about, you know, he's making $35 million a year. And Ben Simmons is like, I'm offended because they talked about trading me, or like my coach criticized me one time. You're $35 million a year. It's insane. It is absolutely insane.
I said the other day, I didn't get this out there. Ben, here's the deal. Get a hold of my son's scooter, take some of your millions of dollars and go buy the technology for the shooting sleeve that my son had. I will guarantee you that if you do that, you will become a better shooter. You will then own a company that can go and do all kinds of different things, teaching other different modalities as far as different sports, throwing a football, kicking a football, being able to, you know, throw a pitch as a pitcher so you don't get Tommy John surgery because you got the right thing. This is the greatest teaching tool ever. It's great for the rehab world and everything. And you will make more money owning that company. And I'm serious, with the technology that it has and the potential that it has, aside from turning you into a really much better and really good shooter and changing your game and your history in the game of basketball. Because with $35 million, you can buy this thing for hardly anything at all. It would be the smartest thing he could ever do. And he would change his life to Matt. Just totally change his life.
He'll be the poster boy of his own company.
Hey, my son in three lessons took DeAndre Jordan, had DeAndre Jordan changed his shot and had him shooting over 75%. He lost the lead before he's going to the Olympics and doing stuff. The coaches didn't follow up on it. He did the same thing for Dwight Howard. He's changed him. Andre Drummond. He had him changing. I mean, this is the greatest teaching tool. Marketing, it's the greatest teaching tool I've ever seen. Nothing has ever come out in the marketplace that even can come close to this. It would dramatically change sports and how kids can learn. And I've been trying to go ahead and try to do something with Steph. If Steph did this and you did the Steph Curry shooting sleeve, obviously a kid could learn, because if you program Steph's shot into the sleeve and a kid went out to shoot and he kept shooting and shooting, the sleeve is going to tell him what he's doing right, wrong, and all from Steph. And he could actually totally learn Steph Curry's shooting form. He could learn to shoot the ball, with his shooting form. Now, whether or not he has the other skills and all to get to that level, but he's sure as hell going to become a better shooter. I'm guarantee you, using Steph's shooting form. But anyway, Steph's got so many things going on. I just don't understand. I don't understand why Under Armour wouldn't have done it, because they could have done that for him. They could take Jordan Spieth and do it for golf. They could take some of the great players they have on their contract and put out a device that would change the lives of so many kids as far as making them better in the sport that they're playing. That's how good this is. It's crazy.
Amazing.
I had the money, I'd buy the damn company myself and buy the I forgot those three zeros on my contract.
Oh man, Mark, before we let you go, by the way, and you can follow Mark Haynes on Twitter at Mark Haynes NBA. You got to apply for that blue check, Mark, man. It's your time. You're ready for it. I'm surprised you don't have that yet.
They keep all denying me.
That's well. Hopefully, I mean, you're doing so much work. If you follow Mark on Twitter, I mean, you're at the practices, you're at the games, you're providing legitimate insights. Anything else you want to promote? I mean, we've had you for an hour. I feel like we can talk all day, but we all got lives. Anything you want to promote before we let you go?
Well, yeah, man. First, I want to thank both of you guys for having me on, man. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully, you guys bring me on again.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like you said, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. They're both Mark Haynes NBA. I just started a Warriors podcast with Clutch Points, the Warriors Multiverse podcast. That's like, just follow me, stay tuned to the things that I'm doing. And, once again, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you taking the time to join us, but I had to get one more thing off my chest. What the hell was the deal with the freaking red letters for Warriors uniform? What?
you didn't like that, Rick? You didn't like that?
No.
Wasn't that the Philly uniform? Isn't that why? I thought they did that.
The Warriors colors. Come on. Then they still had the gold or something up here. It was what? It's a tribute to back when they were. Who cares what they were in Philadelphia? I had a hard time accepting red on a Golden State Warrior uniform.
Oh my God. I love it.
Turn into communist or what?
Oh, we're doing this twice. We're doing this twice.
Yeah. Drives me crazy.
Oh, that's the first two-timer we've ever had. That's incredible, Rick.
I know. I'm serious. I looked at it. It was like one of those things where I did a double take. I'm looking. There's something. What? I said, what, red numbers? What is that?
You're not alone. I had people texting me this morning complaining about that.
Well, when I first did it and looked at it, everything, forgetting that, and they're playing at home, I said, that's the Clippers. The Clippers have red.
Yeah, like, that was weird.
It looked like the Cleveland Cavaliers have one like that, where it's blue, red, and yellow.
Yeah.
It looks just like that.
It's crazy. I just, that was weird. But I'm just, hey, I'm thankful. That despite the Warriors won two games against two teams that are good, expected to be very good teams for the season. And listen, you take them anytime you can get them. I mean, a win here means just as much now, for the end of the season, because maybe a loss down there isn't going to hurt you because you won some early.
Yep. Damn right. You're damn right. Dub Nation, you have a reason to be excited. And again, follow Mark Haynes. It's Mark Haynes NBA on Twitter and Instagram. U2's Instagram a presence blows me away. Rick, I'm still waiting for your follow. It's only been like, I don't know, 20 years. on Instagram. You don't follow me there, man. My handle is @dogwild.
You're not there. I'll do that right now. I'm gonna
Thank you, sir. That is so nice of you. Mark, I'll find you on Instagram as well. You two are, I have like thousands of followers on there. I have such a meager presence. Twitter's my game. But follow Mark Haynes on either of those platforms. Mark, we'll definitely do this again soon, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Take care. All the best. Hope to meet you in person if I'm at a game sometime.
Yeah. We'll be there soon for sure. We'll meet you
there. Sir, definitely. Congratulations on the baby and all. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Little boy
thank
or girl? Boy or girl?
Girl. I got a 7-year-old boy and then I got a 4-month girl.
Congratulations. Yeah,
that'll be good. And that's a whole different experience when you got a girl.
I know no one realizes this. Everyone think, Rick, you just have like this army of NBA boys, but you do have a daughter as well, right?
Yeah, my daughter Shannon. Yeah, but daughters are totally different than the boys. I mean, there's something about it. I mean, it's built in. The girls are just different than boys, that's for sure. Like my father said, son, when you have a son, you only have to worry about one zipper in town.
that's why I told Chris Townsend when he was on, because he has twin daughters who are almost 16. I'm like, do you own a gun yet? I mean, you don't have to use the gun. They just have to know you own it. They just have to be aware that you are an armed individual. That's what I would say. But
thanks again, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
We'll talk, man.
All right, and everybody, thanks again for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Before we go, of course, mention all your, Rick, you got some products you're endorsing, MedicaLeaf, Ghost Sleeves.
Yeah, GhostSleeves.com, GhostSleeves.com. Code is RB, small RB24. You get a really nice discount, great product. Still trying to get Clay to try it, and where I think these things would be really good for him, not hurt him at all, and just having a hard time trying to even just do something nice for somebody who I respect and admire. I mean, I love Clay. I mean, I love both of those guys. I mean, the best shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA, without question, nobody even close. Weston and Goodrich would have been, another one as far as really outstanding shooters are concerned. You can say, Frazier, Monroe, but not like Steph and Clay are in a whole nother world. I mean,
it's just, the Splash Brothers. Same
way you could talk about, up in Portland and all, but I mean, Damian and his running mate McCollum. But no, that's not Steph and Clay. I mean, they're
the only one.
They really are. Anyway, so RB24 is for Ghost Sleeves, and then MediciLeaf, MediciLeaf, MediciLeaf.com. Code is number 24. Incredible cannabinoid products, the best stuff I've ever tried and use. I use it all the time. I just played pickleball this morning. Had my stuff on to get ready to go play and use it. I just use it all the time. And it definitely works. I mean, for me, it works. And I've seen firsthand people just have incredible results trying it. And before you start taking any opioids or other types of products that you need to, that you can hurt your stomach lining, whatever, try the cannabinoids. Try that first and see how it works for you. But again, 24 is the code, MediciLeaf.com. And go GYV, gogyv.com. That's another amazing one. Biogenesis. I got off of taking the prescription drug Celebrex that I haven't taken in years that I had to take for my knee because I have no cartilage and I didn't have the luxury of having only arthroscopic surgery. I had two where my, got cut open and I played with an arthritic knee that was terrible for most of my career. So I know that stuff works really well too. So you can check that out also. So anyway, that's kind of it.
Back
down to Florida.
And let's promote real quick, Rick, and people can follow you on all social media platforms at Rick24Berry. They can follow the program on all social media platforms at Warriors24Pod. And you can follow me on Twitter at DocSurfRoadshow. And before we go, real quick, here's a clip from last night's game. Here's Stephen Curry with Chuck and crew on NBA on TNT.
Stephen Curry joins us. And Steph, thank you very much for taking some time with us. Number one, congratulations on the news that went out before the game tonight, member of that 75th anniversary team.
It's pretty special. I appreciate it. Shaq, Chuck, it's pretty dope to be teammates on a list like that. And saw Reggie earlier. So some special names on that list, obviously, history of the league. And it's pretty surreal to be a part of that. So especially, I still got some time left on the court.
Yeah. Hey, so game one you described as trash. How do you best sum up what we saw tonight when you didn't miss in the first quarter and finish with 45?
Yeah, I should have clarified. I just shot like trash. I played all right. Tonight was another step in the right direction for us as a team. It felt like three different games out there. Obviously, the first quarter that we had, you know, them going on the run, and then the second half was kind of just back and forth the whole time. So, you know, we're growing, we're maturing. It's obviously two games, but, you know, we have a lot of room to grow. It's nice to learn lessons and wins and, you know, just build expectations for who we are as a team. So, and obviously it's nice to win on your home court. We haven't, you know, had our fans in a very long time. And so it was amazing energy in there and glad we got it done.
You know, back in the 60s and 70s, they criticized Will Chamberlain. They said, all you do is score. So he led the league in assists 1 year. So now I'm looking at you. You've accomplished everything. But now you're in the top 10 in the league in rebounding after two games. Is that something you want to put on your resume? Hey,
you know, I like Mark Jackson. You know, started going into the block later in his career. Maybe I had to take a little bit out of the PG, just start, you know, hiding the paint on defense and grabbing rebounds. And, you know, just for me, it's just always just position anticipation. But you got to find ways to just be involved in the action. I'll see if I can keep that up, though.
Steph, every year we have a discussion slash argument on what an MVP is. You know, some guys like Chuck and Kenny say it's based on the record. I say it's based on individual play. Last year, especially in the second half, I thought you was the MVP. Is it fair to say that you're going for that MVP trophy this year?
I mean, I don't know how y'all described it when y'all were playing, but if you're doing what you're supposed to do, that's obviously hopefully the result that you're in that conversation. You know, affecting winning, you know, leading your team on the court, off the court, you know, just trying to find ways to elevate your game. So, I mean, that's always a part of the mission. It's not so much as the vision and the MVP trophy every time you step foot on the floor, but it's the expectation of how you're supposed to play every night that is MVP type caliber expectation. So I always have that, and hope that answers the question. So yes, but nothing changes from, you know, the past years.
You know, Steph, you know, first, congratulations on the 75, but also,
thank you.
You know, there's a expectation of championships with you and the team there. And now with Klay coming back, there are a couple of guys that could really develop into and help you be that. Who are those guys that you're like, man, I'm surprised that he's doing this now, or he needs to do this, or we need him to do this? Who are the guys that we know is Draymond, we know Klay, and we know what you're going to do, but before it was the Harrison Barnes of the world that were doing it. Who is that now that's going to be put in that role?
I think if you look at our team, you know, if you include our lottery picks with, you know, Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody, you know, we have like 12, 13 guys that can, you know, step foot on the floor and contribute, you know, especially as the season goes and we continue to grow. But if you look at Otto Porter Jr. and Bielisa, those two guys who are on minimum contracts and, you know, they have an opportunity to come here and impact winning and reestablish themselves, you know, in the league. Training camp was awesome for them in our preseason. These first two games, they've made their presence felt. So that's some veteran experience and presence that we need that we didn't have last year. So, you know, with those two guys, and then hopefully Wiggs takes that next step, being a huge part of what we do on both ends of the floor, I'd say those three guys as the veteran presence, you know, will help us get to that championship caliber level. And, you know, we got to stay in the moment and see how the season goes, and that's the mission.
He's the man who, we like to say, makes it look
effortless.
Stephen Curry joining us from San Francisco. Thanks for taking some
time. Congratulations.
We appreciate you.
Appreciate it, fellas.
All right.
Same to you.
All right. Well, listen, that's great. Have a good weekend. I'll be back in Florida starting on Thursday of next week.
Nice. You snowbird, you. So Colorado's done, huh? It's getting too cold.
It's starting to get, yeah, it's been nice. I mean, it's very nice today. Beautiful day. And fortunately, hopefully we'll get out of here. I'll just get a double check again because the weather can change very quickly here in Colorado. And it is
yes, it can.
Looking good for me to get out of here before it snows. Yes.
Beautiful. And have a safe trip to Florida for your winter home. And we'll have another show soon. Rick, it's always a pleasure. And I know, look, you're incredibly humble and I respect that about you, but I hope you celebrated being part of that 75th team. That's such an honor to be a part of a fraternity that's even more exclusive than the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? That's just really special. Congratulations, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And all I can tell you is that
I never played for individual honors. I mean, that's why the only ring I've ever worn doing stuff is my Warriors championship ring, because that's what it's about. I mean, the other stuff is, I mean, yeah, great. And then you'll have the discussions and the people who picked them. I mean, it's subjective. I mean, who were the experts that picked it? I mean, come on, this is a handful of people that the NBA decided, well, let's let this guy. What the hell does that really mean? You know, I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, what does it really truly mean? I mean, I would respect an older person who was picking it, who has seen all of these people play, mm-hmm. who's been around the game, especially people who, you know, especially players, you know, if they don't allow their prejudice to get in, because we do know how that works. As 1975, I know how that works. It's okay.
I love it, Rick. Thank you, sir. Right. Always a
pleasure. We look forward to the next one. Go Warriors.
Presented by Bet Online.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.